Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Tet. And we're up to the fourth line, which is Tnan, I believe. I'm pretty sure, but it doesn't hurt to do it again, even if we did it yesterday. So if you recall, yesterday we had an amazing machlokas. Oh, there goes Richie. Yesterday we had this amazing machlokas as to whether you could actually use a sukkah wall which was completely invisible. And the reason it was completely invisible was because it was based on Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem. That's what Abaya said. Whereas Rava said, there's no way that you can use Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem. Now, the obvious problem is the case of our Mishnah. Because basically, the case in the Mishnah seems to be saying exactly not like that. It says, if you have a chotzer, that is mukefet achsadra, this is a Abaya's case, mind you, and it's more than four amas away from the schach of your sukkah, you have a possible sukkah, because you can't use dofen akuma. But according to Abaya, for God's sake, what do I need dofen akuma for? I have the end of the roof of the achsadra, and Abaya says you could say Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem, so it's great. You don't need the house wall. You have the Pi Tikra of the achsadra wall. So basically, the Mishnah is telling you that Abaya makes no sense. So let's see that inside. Tanan, v'chein chatzer hamukefet achsadra, and so on and so forth. I don't understand. Am I? According to Abaya, why is it possible? Why don't you simply say, no matter how far away it is from the house, it's irrelevant? Because name of Pitikra Yored V'Sotem. So Abaya wasn't there to answer this kasha, but Rava said, I'll tell you what Abaya will say, because it's very obvious. Tirgima Rava Alibada Abaye. That it's talking about in the Mishnah, where you made the schach level with the edge of the roof. In other words, you didn't lay the schach down like bamboo on top of the achsadra roof, so that when you're sitting in the sukkah, you could see the edge of the roof, which is Yored V'Sotem. In order for it to be tikkur to be Yored V'Sotem, you have to see the edge of the roof. Because, I mean, it's not like it's a totally invisible wall. It's a virtual wall that we're doing on the basis of the way that the roof encloses a space, right? So it's Yored V'Sotem, but there is no edge to the roof because you have graphically wiped it out by putting the bamboo right up against the edge, and now it looks like all one thing. Where's the Pi Tikra? So because of that, if you made it the same level, so now it's flush with the level of the Pi Tikra, then there is no Pi Tikra. Okay, that was the entire description of the machlokes in the yeshiva of Sura. However, in Pumpadita, they had a totally different approach. So again, in Sura, the approach was, everybody agrees, if you have pitzimim, that's fine, because then you have a wall that is basically a real wall for the sukkah. The only machlokas between Rav and Abaya, according to the version of Surah, is whether you can rely on Pi Tikra and pretend that they are the same as Pitzimi. However, in Pumpadisa, they learned that everybody agrees that there is no way that you can use Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem. And therefore, Sichech Agabi Achsadra She'en La Pitzimi, if it doesn't have these pillars supporting the roof that you can use to make Lavud, so then everybody agrees that it's possible. Abaya never said that in a case like that, that there would be a Pi Tikra Yored V'Sotem all around the sukkah. Absolutely not. The machlokas was where it does have pitzimim. So Abaya says it's kosher, and Rava says, in Pumpadisa's version, Rava says even if it has pitzimim, it still is possible. Why is that? Because Rava holds, in this version, that lavud is a halacha that is said, L'moshe Mi-Sinai, that an area that is surrounded by a mechitza, which is lavud, is considered to be surrounded by a mechitza, but it never turned the lavud itself into a mechitza. So therefore, vis-a-vis the area that this mechitza enclosed, which is, of course, the achsadra per se, yes, lavud is a mechitza, but what does that have to do with the sukkah? The sukkah, if you had a real wall like the house, if it were not four amas away, a real wall doesn't matter whether it's made for the space inside or whether it's made for the space outside, that's totally irrelevant. But when it's a virtual wall that is created out of lovehood, Rava holds that the virtual wall only appears virtually when you are utilizing it for the mechitza that it is part of. What was this mechitza made for, these pitzimin? It wasn't made for the yard. It was made for the inside of the cloisters, right? So because of that, Rava, in this version, holds that you cannot even say lovut to use as a virtual wall for a sukkah that is outside of it. Kol shekin, pitikra yard v'sotin. That, in this version, even Abaya didn't hold. So therefore, we have a completely new way of reading the machlokas. Abaya omak shera because it's lovut, and Rava omak psula because we don't say lovut in this case. However, the Gemara makes it very clear that Pumpadias' version is wrong. The halacha is like the Lishna Kama, and that means we go like Rava, where we always go, according to him, that we can absolutely, yes, use the Pitzimin as long as they're within Shalosh Tvachim, but we cannot use the Pitikra Yored Vesosim all around like Abaye. Now, once happened that Rav Ashi came to visit Rav Kahana, and he finds him preparing a sukkah, and it looked like a totally ridiculous sukkah, because he was being misachich agabi achsadra she'in la petzimim. What it looked like he was doing is this. Just imagine the case, and we'll see if we can find a picture of it here. So here's what the case was. It was a classic case of pitikra yored v'sosin. In other words, there was a roof that was extending out of a house into the yard. Now, what happened is that Rav Kahana was not using the wall of the house. It was far away from the house. So what he did was, he built his sukkah right outside of the roof. Now, this is a very likely kind of case. You build the walls of the sukkah right next to the roof of your patio. You want to be able to carry from your patio into the sukkah, the food and everything else. Obviously, you can't make the sukkah in the patio, so you make the sukkah directly out of the patio. But he didn't put a wall between the patio and his sukkah. All he did was, is he made like an L. So the one side of the L was perpendicular to the patio top, and one was parallel to the patio top. But there was no wall at all on the side of the patio, which meant that Rav Kahana was relying on the top of the patio, the roof of the patio, coming down and creating the third wall. So here was Rav Kahana basically making a sukkah that, you sent us a picture? Great, thank you. Okay, so I'm not going to bother looking at the picture, but anybody who wants to see the picture can get onto your WhatsApp. Oh, so now suddenly our Capitan will have to admit that he is capable of looking at another screen. Well, look at this. Old age is not an excuse for everything. Forget about it, buddy. You just don't want us to see you. Okay, so everyone has seen the case. Yeah, I mean, that's not very graphic, but yeah. Okay, so the case is really quite straightforward, right? Okay, so you've got an L-shaped wall, that one side of which is directly underneath the end of the roof of your patio. A very common situation. So, I mean, but Rav Ashi was horrified, because didn't we just end up saying that the Machlokas Abaye V'Rava, as it was reported in Surah, is correct, and you cannot rely on Pitikra Yored V'Sotein? So didn't we say Lo Savar Marha De Amar Rava? The only time that you can use your patio as a wall of your sukkah is if it has these poles that are holding it up, or columns to hold it up. Yesh Lo Petzimim Ksheira, but your patio doesn't have anything. You are basically sitting in a sukkah with two walls, and the third wall would have to be based on Pitikra Yored V'Sotein. Achvele, so Rav Kahana showed Rav Ashi that he's not noticing a very important piece of the sukkah. And the reason he's not noticing it is because of the fact that it wasn't noticeable from the inside. It was only noticeable from the outside. So he said to him, here, come with me. They walked outside of the sukkah, and he showed him that on the other side of the wall, there was a board that was sticking out at the end of the wall, which was very noticeable from the other side, from the outside of the sukkah. But it was not noticeable at all from inside of the sukkah because it was an extension of the wall to the opposite side. Now, that was a sugya that we had back in Erevin many, many times, remember? What was the din of pitsimim that are nira bibifnim and shava mibachutz, or nira mibachutz and shava mibifnim? And we ended up saying that that's okay. And as long as it's noticeable, it does not have to be noticeable from within. So because of that, since that's kosher, as a lechi, di itmar, nira mibachutz v'shava mibifnim nidan mishum lechi. So Rav Kahana says, nu, now you understand? Hainu pitsima. This is the same thing as a patsimi. That wasn't saying these are the pitsimim that Rava was referring to. Obviously, that's not what Rava was referring to, because over here, it's talking about a particular din of lechi, not of the halacha of lovot or anything like that. Rav Ashi was talking about something else. He was talking about the pitsimim that were all inside of the sukkah and that had nothing to do with lechi. Okay, but because of that, the kashrus of it is based on the kashrus of lechi, which is kosher for a mavli, and therefore it could also be kosher for a sukkah. Now, this is a big problem. I mean, you must accept that something strange is going on. The only time that we said that you can use something that was kosher for a mavli or for a chatzar was on Shabbos. On Shabbos, during Sukkot, so we said, since it's considered to be a mechitza for Shabbos, it's considered to be a mechitza for Sukkah, right? That's what we had before. Where in the world do we ever find that a single lechi is kosher for the third wall? This makes no sense at all. So because of this, the Rush says that the pshat over here must be that he had also made, Rav Kahana had also made, like a tzuras ha-pesach on that door. Right, because it has nothing over. Remember that the idea of the lechi in that case is only because it's supposed to be a reminder that this is a rishus hayachid and that you don't walk out from it into rishus hayachid. So the lechi over there would be b'tam hekar. Hekar is not the time of the third wall of your sukkah, for God's sake. So how in the world could you possibly use a hekar, an amavli, for a wall of a sukkah? So therefore, it's got to be talking about that the third side of this sukkah, even Rav Kahana, and this right away had been seen that there was a Tzuras HaPesach there. The problem is that there was nothing to build the Tzuras HaPesach on because the Tzuras HaPesach alone is not acceptable, we said before, even though it is acceptable, midiraisa, but it's not acceptable because you need to have at least one tefach, and he didn't have the one tefach. So for that one tefach, the Rabbanan, that's what it was that they were arguing about. And therefore, the Lashon, according to the Rush, of this is the patsim, is in fact a perfect Lashon. If you don't understand this way, what do you mean, this is the patsim? We were talking about patsimim with lovod. What does that have to do with this case? So it actually turns out that according to this approach, there are other approaches as well, but according to this approach, it would make a lot of sense, even in the Lashon. So that would be wonderful. Okay, anyway, getting on, we get into the other sugya that we've spoken about many times. And that is, the Braita says that psala yotzei min hasukah nidon kesukah. So if you've got schach that actually extends outside of the sukkah, you can still sit under that schach, even though it's not in the sukkah. And what does that mean? So my psala yotzei min hasukah. Omar Ula, what this means is that you have sticks of bamboo, let's say, that you used on your sukkah, and it's sticking out to the other side of the sukkah. And what it's saying is that you could move a table to the back of your sukkah underneath this bamboo, and you could eat under that roof. That's what it's referring to. What? How can I understand? There's no walls. All you would have over there if you did that is one wall, which is the back of the sukkah. How could you possibly eat under that? No, we're talking about where there are three walls. So that basically the two walls on the side of the sukkah extended behind the middle wall of the sukkah. So now you've got three walls there also. Okay, but I mean, it needs to be at least 7x7 in order to have the shear of a sukkah, doesn't it? It does. But a ikka. Okay, but then, I mean, it needs to have enough schach that it actually creates a tzel, which is tzilatam ruba michamata. It does. Yep, it does. So then, darn it, if it does, all it is another sukkah. I don't understand. So what's the chiddush? It's not a psal ayotzim in a sukkah. This guy's got two sukkahs. He's got one bedroom in the back, and he's got a living room in the front. I don't understand what the chiddush is. He's got two perfectly kosher sukkahs. Tzeriyachi ma'ila meimra. I mean, I don't need a brayta to teach me something so childish. Ah, but you see, you might have thought that since the walls weren't made for the back of the sukkah, they were made for the front of the sukkah. So therefore, I would have said that is not kosher. Kamash malan, that it is kosher. Now, the copy disappeared. So now, what does that is obviously add to the entire description of the Dvarim that we've been dealing with up until now? Didn't we just have a case in the Mishnah, which we had three cases? The Gemara says, what do you need three cases for? And the Gemara said, because I would have thought that if the walls were made for the inside and not for the outside, that then you can't use that wall for a sukkah. Therefore, kamash malan, the case of the Aksadra, that yes, you can use the walls for the sukkah. So now all of a sudden, this is a big chiddush. The psal ayotzim in a sukkah is talking about the, even though the wall was made for the other side, nonetheless, I can use it for this side. That's weird. It's a Mishnah. It's not telling me any new chiddush, right? So because of this question, Tosfos says, Rashi's pshat cannot be true. What do you mean you need a wall that's made for the sukkah? We know that. That's not true. We know that from the Mishnah. Therefore, says Tosfos, actually what it means is that I would have said the schach that I put up was not meant for tzel on the rear of the sukkah. And because of that, they should not be kosher as schach for the rear of the sukkah. Kamash malan, that since they are part of the bamboo that is shielding and is put up there for schach for the other side, they're perfectly kosher as schach for this side. Now, if you're ma'ayin and Rashi carefully, you will see that Rashi has already addressed this question and mooted it. At least if you're American, it mooted. If you're British, that's a bit of a problem. So what did it do? Rashi says the case is, it's so brilliant. He sort of throws it in as a throwaway line. And it turns out that it's the whole point. It's absolutely crazy. You look at it, you say, what? What is that supposed to mean? And it got all messed up by the people that were copying it because it didn't make any sense. So they had to be misacking the girsa. If you take a look at the little gimel over there. Rashi says that the case is that you initially built a three-walled sukkah, right? And then you look at it and you say, gosh, this is too big. And it doesn't even feel like a sukkah. So you took the middle wall, which was a sheet that, you know, you had hung up there, and you moved it so that now your sukkah would be smaller. Oh, so now we're talking about a case where you bedafka made the mechitza not to enclose that space. Aha. So then you would have thought, since that's the case, so you can't use it for that space. That's the chiddush. Kamash malan, that even so, you can use it for that space. Rashi is actually very meduyak. Okay, so that is one of the cases, one of the possibilities of psal hayotzim in a sukkah. Rabbi Verav Yosef, the Amar Tarvayu, this is a completely different approach. We're not talking about schach that goes to the back of the sukkah. We're talking about schach that extends to the front of the sukkah. So the problem is that the walls don't extend to the front of the sukkah where the schach is. Only the schach itself does. So, hocha bekanima yotzim lifnim min hasukkah. One wall does continue along. So, let's imagine a case where you've got like this long garden wall, right? And you use that wall and the back wall of the garden to build a sukkah. And now you made a third wall, put schach over it, but the schach stuck out for another couple of meters in front of the sukkah along the garden wall. Okay, so now the question is, all right, if I'm sitting in that schach, so then I'm not surrounded by three walls. I only have a wall on one side and a wall all the way in the back. So what would be the Heksher Sukkah? Therefore, Kamash Malan, that since you've got one wall, Ma the Tema, you might have thought you don't have a Heksher Sukkah. Kamash Malan, that you do, in fact, have a Heksher Sukkah. Now, the problem is that every sukkah that only has two walls, gentlemen, and has a third wall, afilu tefach, is exactly this case. So, there's no kiddush here at all. So, this is classic. I understand. We learned this way back at the beginning of the Masechet. So, why is this psal hayotzim in a sukkah? It's in the sukkah. It has the back wall. It has the side wall. And then it has the third wall, which is a tefach back, way back there, 20 feet back, but who cares? The third wall, anyway, is always kosher with a tefach. So therefore, you have not told me any kiddush whatsoever. Therefore, one of the possibilities that suggests itself to the Rishonim is that we are not talking about that the psal hayotzim in a sukkah stretched across the sukkah to within three tefachim of the invisible third wall. It was just a little bit of schach that was next to the garden wall, and then you've got no connection at all to the other side of the sukkah. So in a case like that, you would say, gosh, I mean, so how can I use that? That's the din of psal hayotzim in a sukkah, where even though it definitely has no third wall whatsoever, even there, it would be kosher. Anyway, that's explanation number two. By the way, you will notice that in the Rova, those of you who are used to the big sukkah that they build in the Rova, actually is semech on psal hayotzim in a sukkah. So over there they have the sukkah that they close up, but the bamboo continues onwards, and one of the walls continues onward with it, so that even when the sukkah on the other side is closed up, tourists and the like can sit in the area of the psal, and biyotze the sukkah mitam psal hayotzim in a sukkah. So this was the second pshat in psal hayotzim in a sukkah. Here's another pshat. The third pshat goes like this. Rabba Barbachana Omer Rabbi Yochanan. What we're talking about is a rather common case. We're talking about where we've got a sukkah where most of the sukkah is well covered with schach, and then there's a patch in the sukkah that is not well covered with schach. And it's very sparsely covered, and it's got more sunlight than it does sound. Now, that's the question. So, do I look at each area individually? That's what it's coming to say. That if you have psal hayotzei min ha-sukkah, it doesn't mean it's going outside of the space of the sukkah. It means it's going out of the normal heksher of the sukkah, because it's not tzilotza miruba mechamata. So, over there, where you have most of the sukkah is tzel meruba mechamata. You've got this area that is chamata meruba, mitzilta. So if you take the entire schach as one roof, of course the roof has more tzel than chama. Question is, you're sitting in an area where you look up and you're rather disturbed. This happens very often. You're invited out, you know, and you're looking up and you're thinking, oh, heck, this ain't no sukkah. There's hardly any tzel over there, right? So that is considered to be psal hayotze min ha-sukkah. This particular area is, in fact, not part of the heksher of the sukkah, because if you just look at it as a separate area, it's not kosher. So if I see the entire sukkah as one unit, so then this unit would be part of this chach. It's yotze in this area from the heksher of sukkah. So ma'adat tema tipasel b'hach purta. So you would have thought that this section itself should be pasul, and you can't sit under it. And if it were a sukkah that was only shiva al shiva, so then the whole sukkah would be pasul, because you'd have to take this piece out and say, well, I mean, if you look at this area, it's not really kosher schach, so therefore your sukkah is entirely pasul, because you don't have enough of a shear. And therefore, kamash malan, that the sukkah is kosher anyway. Now, there's a bit of a practical and very important nafkamina lahalach and how to understand this. In the event that the area itself, which has chamata mirubah mitzilata, is itself 7x7. So since that is an area that would be kosher for a sukkah on its own, would it still be called psala yotze min ha-sukkah or not? Because maybe that would be so kosher that it's completely different area. That is a machlokas haposkim. But where it's not the shear of a sukkah katana, and the entire schach itself is kosher, comes along to tell me the brisa that psala yotze min ha-sukkah is indeed kosher. So why does it say yotze? It isn't yotze. No, it doesn't mean yotze physically. It means it's yotze from the hechsher, from the normal dinim of the hechsher of a sukkah. This is not within those normal parameters. And nonetheless, it's kosher. So it's yotze in the sense of parametric, not in the sense of physical. Beautiful. Another pshat in psala yotze min ha-sukkah. This is like a fourth pshat. Rabbi Yoshaya Omer, we're talking about over here worse than that. We're talking about where you've got schach that is actually posel, okay? And you put this down on a sukkah katana. So it's less than 3 tvachim. It's in a sukkah katana. And there's a tremendous chiddush that even though part of my 7x7 is being covered with schach that's posel, the sukkah is still kosher, which is amazing. Because even though the kosher schach per se is less than shiva al shiva, it doesn't matter. Because that part is not considered to be a mokum choshev that's not covered by the schach. And therefore, all told, you have a 7x7 schach. And when it says over here yotzei, it doesn't mean it's yotzei mi hechsher sukkah. It means it's yotzei even from the definition of a sukkah. Because it's made out of toaster oven. And nonetheless, it can be part of the sukkah. That's the pshat, psala yotze min ha-sukkah. Uma yotze mitorat sukkah, which is much more than simply being yotze, mi hechsher sukkah, because over here, the toaster oven is, of course, not kosher b'chlaz, no tshaychus to the dinim of sichuch. Maskev lo Rav Hoshaya. We finally have got Rav Hoshaya arguing with Rav Hoshaya, which drives Israelis crazy, because they can't say, hey, what do they do with this sugya? It's a disaster. So anyway, so Rav Hoshaya asked Rav Hoshaya, okay, how could that be? If this is, let's say, empty space, let's say it's not a toaster oven. So, I mean, even if it was only as seen as empty space, and avir pachot mishloshat tvachim besukah ktana mipasil, it should be so obvious. If empty space itself doesn't pass, we said before, even a sukkah katana. Why? Because we said it's lovewood, it's all one roof. So not kosher material at all, which is less able to pass. Why? Because we need 4 tvachim usually to pass. So you're going to tell me that, I understand that we said before in the sukkah katana that because over there you still have a place that isn't covered with schach, if it's 3 tvachim it passes. But why do I need the chiddush over here, if it's less than shlosha tvachim, that it doesn't pasul. Even air wouldn't pasul. So I don't need the brayta. Omar le Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said to Rav Hoshaya, no. It's a big difference. Because ze mitztaref v'yishenim tachta. In one sense, what you said is not true. Because you're saying that that's going to be more chomer, but the truth is that in the small sukkah, if you have schach, which is posel, if it's less than 3 tefachim, when we say that that's part of the sukkah, we mean that is literally part of the sukkah, and you can lie down under the toaster oven, and you can say, what beautiful stars are visible through the door of my toaster oven. Okay, this guy's got real problems. But anyway, he's still sleeping in a kosher sukkah. But if you're talking about a empty space, it's true that the empty space is actually not going to pass on the sukkah. But you can't actually sleep under the empty space because even though it's less than 3 tefachim, it mustn't be slept under. Now, it's a big machlokas, whether this is true even in a sukkah gedola. The whole pashtus over here of the sukkah, the way Rashi learns it is that in a sukkah katana, you don't sleep under pachos mishlosha tvachim. But this would be talking about, according to Rashi, but there are many other Rishonim who disagree, but that could be limited, the disagreement, because the question is whether your body and head or head or most of your body fits under it. So then it would be that you're sleeping entirely under Avir. Or, of course, the other possibility is that it runs along the entire circus, splits it into two circus. That was a different area. Okay, but therefore it turns out that if you have a thing running down the middle, so then that is going to passel any sukkah. Because when I say passel any sukkah, I mean passel any sukkah that would only be left with two walls. Obviously, if it had a wall on the other side, there's no magic psul of a sukkah just because it's cut into two sukkahs. That's ridiculous. But a normal sukkah, which had only three walls, a back wall and two walls on the side, if you got something in the middle that goes straight through it, it's going to divide it, and now it only has two walls. If it's a small sukkah, and we have another problem, small sukkah because it's memayit, the Sheva al Shiva, because neither side is not big enough to be, even if it had three walls, what good is it? It's not 7x7. That's talking about the Avir, okay? How about if you've got your Schach Posel? So then if it's four Tvachim, again, if it goes all the way down, then it's through the Sukkah, so then you don't have sufficient walls. If it's a small Sukkah, you've got a bigger problem. You don't have sufficient Schach. So over there, even three Tvachim would be enough. If it's next to the wall, so then you get into Dofen Akuma. So then it will only passel if it's four amas, assuming, of course, that you have an area of a kosher sukkah besides those four amas. If it's a one area that is four tefachim wide, even in a big sukkah, you can't sleep under the schach that's passel. If it's three tefachim in the small sukkah, it will passel the small sukkah. But if it doesn't, if it's not going to take away from the shira of Shiva al Shiva, so then even in the small sukkah, you would be allowed to sleep under it. Okay, again, this is the way that Rashi learns, and most of the poskim are semech on this, but, I mean, there's cases that Mishnah Berurah says it's kedai to be machmir, and the issue of under Avir, why would Avir be more chomer than Pesach Paso? Also strange, because the whole time we said that the we only viewed the Avir as being Choshevet for Shleisha, that could be the Mefarish because it's so noticeable. In other words, to have an open space with a whole point in the Sukkah is your sense of enclosure of the Sukkah, that over there it would be Enya Shenim Tachtam. So because of that, this is Mitztarev, but you can't. Hold on a second. You're telling me something could be Mitztarev to the Shir of a Sukkah, but it itself is not a Sukkah? This makes sense to you? That you can make it part of something, but you can't actually use it. Hu atzmo eino kosher. If it itself is not kosher, then how in the world can it be mitzarif to make the sukkah kosher? I don't understand. Omer Reb Yitzchak ben Yashiv, of course we have cases like that. What is so strange about that case? I'll give you a perfect example. Suppose you have tit hanarok, okay? Tit hanarok means you've got this thick mud, but it's not too thick to actually be able to be liquid in the sense that you could pour it from one container to another container. And that's the definition of liquid. So if you have arboim saw, and the arboim saw, let's say, is mushalam, so 20 saw of the arboim saw is mud, this kind of mud, liquid mud, then you have arboim saw of your mikveh. But you can't be tovo inside mud. You can only be tovel inside the water. So it's exactly the same thing. But if you're tovel directly in the mud, it's not considered to be kosher. So fine. That's exactly the same as we have over here. And now I think that our capitan is going to have to show his face. Gosh, it's a sad moment. Yeah. Mesiris Nefesh. Oh, gosh. Steal yourself, and give it to us. Thank you. Bye. Says the Mishnah, this was an issue. It's like having this malach that's with you, you know. And it's only when you're about to go into the bathroom, Mahavdil, you say, please, Malachim, stay out. Oh, here it's the opposite. So anyway, you make a sukkah, and we had this before, you make a sukkah like a yurt, or like a srif, like a hunter's hide. So it could mean srif, and that would mean that it's all, we had before, remember you tie all of the schach up like with a knot in the middle, and then it comes down all around like a circle. Oh, well, what about if you took bamboo, or like a nice machatzelet, and you leaned it up against a wall. So now your schach is both the wall and the schach. So what if you put it up against a wall? So Rabbi Eliezer posel, mipnesha in lagak. Rabbi Eliezer says, look, you need to have something that is separately visible as a roof. Now, therefore, even if you did the obvious thing, meaning that you had 7x7 and you worked it out that you would be able to fit a 7x7 in, it's machlokes exactly how we look at that. Is the whole area viewed as the roof? Do we put in a box inside of it, that 7x7, so to speak? Whatever the din is, the problem is not the shear. The problem is the sheer fact that you don't have a roof. That's the problem. Because a roof needs to be nicker as a roof. And therefore, how can you call it schach if it's just as likely dofen as it is schach? V'chachomim makshirim. The chachomim say, nope, in both of these cases, it would be kosher. We're going to see in the Gemara what the issue is. Tana. Meida Rebbe Yehuda. Just like we said before, that in order to define the roof of the sukkah, what do you need? A tefach. You don't need the entire asarat tefachim in height. You need the tefach al sheva, right? Because that was the case that we had where you wanted to use your haystack as a refrigerator. And you made a hole directly under one tefach, directly under the hay, to keep that area chilled so you could put your milk in it. So we said that if that area was 7x7, even if it was only one tefach high, it's okay, and there's no psul of tas sevelomena asui, because the schach is still schach for tzel. So the same thing is true over here. Once you defined a roof, and a roof is defined by one tefach, that we saw again by the dinim of Tuma and so on. So once you define the roof, then Rebbe Eliezer's moda, you don't need the extra sukkah in the roof, but you need therefore to be a roof. Once it's a roof, now I can define the extra sukkah with the continuation of that roof. So the same thing would be true if you define the wall. How would you define the wall? Put the bottom tefach, one tefach high, flat board, then make the lean-to. Fine, it would also be good. So in either event, it would be kosher, because over there you have defined properly your roof as opposed to the side. And why do the Rabbanan hold that it's kosher anyway, even with no definition? That's the din that we had before of shipu'ei ohalim ka'ohalim damo. That is because they hold that when something is on a diagonal and it's a sloping roof, it's also considered to be separable into separate areas geometrically of where we arbitrarily would consider the top to begin. We don't have to have marked off with a tefach. Now, Abaye finds Rabbi Yosef sleeping during Sukkot in a kilat chatanim, which is pretty good because nobody even noticed he was there. And believe it or not, he got a good night's sleep. Nobody bothered him. So anyway, there he was sitting, sleeping under this thin bed with remember the kilat chatanim only has one pole on top, mosquito netting coming down the side. Nobody sees him. And he's sitting there in the sukkah. So he said, how can you sleep under a bed in the sukkah? I don't understand. You're sleeping somewhere else. You're sleeping in an ohel that's made by the bed, but I mean, you're not in the sukkah. So I guess you must be paskening like Rebbe Eliezer. And you hold that since Rebbe Eliezer says it's not considered to be an ohel because of the fact that it slopes. So because of that, you figure that you're not in an ohel. It just looks like an ohel to people, but it doesn't have any separating roof, and therefore you're still in the sukkah. But how could you leave the sheet of the Rabbanan who say that it is a kosher sukkah, and therefore in this case of the Kilas Chasanim, it would be an ohel, and then you relied on Rebbe Eliezer against the Shita of the Rabbim, who say that it would be possible? Omar Le, well, I found a brisa that actually has it the other direction, that it was Reb Eliezer, he was the one who says that it's kosher, and the Chachomim said that the sukkah is not kosher, and therefore, in this case where I'm in the Kilas Chasanim, they would say I'm sleeping in the sukkah. So, Abraisa Ibchatani, that Reb Eliezer is Makshir, and the Chachomim are Poslim. So Abaye said to him, I don't understand. So you throw out a mission in favor of a Braisa? That's even worse. Why in the world would you follow this, the Braisa and not the Mishnah? Omar Le, to Rabbi Yosef said, because I know that the way that the Mishnah quotes it is a Das Yochid. The Masnisin is Yechidahi, because in the Braisa it says, Ha'osesu katoka min tzrif, O Shisimachala Kotel, which is our Mishnah, take this. Rabbi Natan Omer, that Rabbi Eliezer posim ibn she'in lagag v'chachomi makshirin. Now that's our Mishnah. But this Braisa makes it very clear that our Mishnah is Aliba de Rabbi Nassim, which is a Das Yochid. So therefore, forget about it. Okay, we're back to our invisible Malach. Look at this. I see it helps to call him a malach. Malachim have apparently a level of shira that is a higher level. Okay, good. Very, very well done, malach. Now we're talking about a machatzelet. A machatzelet kanim. Now, remember, we did talk about this earlier, and we talked about whether you can assume it was made for sleeping or assume that it was made for schach, depending on the size. Wipe that out of your heads, because we're going to start as if we never saw it again, and then tomorrow the Gemara is going to get to that brides that we spoke about earlier. But right now, let's pretend we know nothing about it. So we start off with this reed mat, and it's a thick, a large reed mat. So then it's really uncomfortable. If you've tried sleeping on a bamboo kind of mat, it's really not very easy on your back. So if it was made lishchiva, if you made it specifically to lie down on, so then it's going to be makabel tuma. Which tuma? Tumas midras. And therefore you cannot use it as schach. If you made it specifically for schach, then it would be kosher schach, but it would not be makabel tuma. Now that obviously is an absurd contradiction. You can't tell me that the middle case is the opposite in the resha and the seifa. Right? First you say, if you made it for sleeping on, then it's a makabel tuma, which implies that if it weren't specifically made for that purpose, that it wouldn't be makabel tuma. And then you say, but if you made it for sichach, which implies it has to be specifically made for sichach, you contradict yourself. The middle case where it's made stam, according to the resha, is that it's not makabel tuma, and according to the seifa, is that it is makabel tuma. Obviously, that's going to be our first problem, and the Gemara is going to deal with that. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, I disagree. I say it doesn't matter what the size is. Achat ktana ve'achat gedola. If you made it for lying down on, then it's makabel tuma. If you made it, and therefore, of course, you can't be mesachich with it. If you made it specifically for the sukkah, then you can use it. Now, this is just as big a stira as the Tanakama is, and doesn't make any more sense. And Richie, if you're going to keep on the sound, then you have got to keep on the video. And if you can't... Okay. Ask the Gemara, what? A gufakash, you just contradicted yourself. Let's take a look at the first part. First you say, then it's makabel tuma, and you can't use it. Okay. But that's only because you made it to lie down on. But if you would have just made it stam, and not said, I specifically want to use this for lying down on, we would have said that undoubtedly nobody in his right mind would want to have a bed that to lie down on like this to hurt your back. And then it would be kosher for the sukkah. But then you turn right around and you say, but if you made it specifically for a sukkah, then and only then you can use it for schach and it's not makabel tuma. But that's the opposite. That's saying the dafka time of the asal sichuch. But if you would have made it stam, it would have meant that it was meant for lying on. You contradict yourself within one sentence. That's not so problematic, because I could say that we're actually talking about two different sizes, which the Tanna Kamma never mentioned, right? So what we could say is, Kan Bigdola, so the first part where we're talking about, you got this big, gigantic one. So people don't make a big, gigantic one for purposes of lying on. They make it to sell for schach. So this must have been made for schach. And therefore, we can assume that if it's a big mat, it was made for a sukkah. The second part is talking about a small mat, which is the size that somebody would use to sit down on a beach or something like that. So over there, in a chinami, I would say that was probably made as a beach chair. And therefore, only if you tell me it was made specifically for schach, then it won't be makabel tuma. That makes a lot of sense, especially when you take into consideration that then Rebbe Eliezer starts talking about achas gedola v'achas ketana. Whoever mentioned gedola v'ketana? We didn't say anything about gedola v'ketana. So therefore, I say the opening of the Mishnah made an assumption that you understood that we're talking about two different cases. Says the Gemara, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Until you get to Rebbe Eliezer. Because Rebbe Eliezer says, I don't give a hang if it's big or small. Yeah. And he contradicts himself in exactly the same way. Well, you're certainly not going to be able to say that answer for Rebbe Eliezer, since he specifically says, I don't care about the size. So that's very nice. But Ema Seifa should say. Take a look at what the Seifa says. Rebbe Eliezer, Aymer Achat Kedola. V'achat Ketana. Again, does that mean only because asa ala shchiva? But if you would have made it stam, whether it's big or small, I would have said it's kosher for sichuch. And then, read on, please, the very next words. Ema seifa, asa ala sichuch b'sachachim ba ve'in mekabelet tuma. Okay. Meaning, only because you made it for sichuch is it kosher, but if you made it stam, it would be for shchiva. And he says it doesn't matter whether it's gadol or katana. That's crazy. What's going on? Okay, says Rava, okay, I'll tell you what it means. It means like this. If you've got a gadola, then everybody agrees that, of course, nobody makes a big, gigantic mat like that unless it's for sichuch, for sure. The machlokas is only about the katana. The Tanna Kamma holds, Kitana, you have to worry about that it's made for Shkiva. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer says, no, even the Kitana, because it's so uncomfortable, is also kosher for Sichuch. And what the Mishnah was actually meaning to say was like this. Machatzela takanim, Gedola. So then, if it was Gedola, so then it would, if it was made specifically for Shkiva, only then is it mekabel tuma ve'in misachachim ba. But that is only because it was specifically made for shchiva. But if you made it stam, then the next words in the Mishnah do not mean if you made it for sichuch. It means anything but being made for shchiva, it's the equivalent of asa ala sichuch, not if you were asa ala sichuch. Nasa, it's automatically made as if it was made l'sichuch, and therefore misachachim ba. Comes along Rebbe Eliezer to say, no, actually, whether it's big or whether it's small, it's always kosher l'sichuch.